back to Being a Fan. The podcast is coming to you from the sound of Prime Mage and Andrea here. We took a week off, guys, and I really feel bad for it. Just some things going on at home, but we are back at it because we are excited to talk about the LCS, the state of the LCS. We are headed into finals week. We get some time to talk about, you know, what's been happening, how it's been from the perspective of fans. I hope you all enjoy all the other previous episodes where we have a lot of guests on talking about why you should be a fan of their team. This show, we will be covering a little bit of the semifinals, our thoughts, and then, you know, give our thoughts about what we expect for the finals. We'll also celebrate Fudge and Bweepo because we didn't get a chance to talk about the player of the week last week. So we'll do a double take this week. But let me check in with my co-host. How are you both doing?
Oh, you know, chilling. I was out with COVID last week, which was horrid. I had COVID for about 2 weeks. And let me tell you, it was not fun.
Oh, man, I can't even go on a week, but you had to deal with that for 2 weeks.
It was not fun. I tried playing League, too. Right, I was also like, man, I'm not doing anything. I'll just play some League of Legends, bro. I'm not gonna lie. I was so out of it. I went 1-10 in a Zeri game, and I got flamed to shit by everybody. I was like, you know what, you guys, honestly, I can't even be mad because I'm running it down right now. Like, this is my fault. I'm so sorry, guys. I could not focus on the game whatsoever. I was like, when I can't play League, you know that it's bad.
Let that be a lesson to you all. If you are sick with COVID, don't play Azeri. Play a Yumi.
Yeah, yeah, honestly, I was thinking, like, if I really want to play another game, I'm locking in Yumi, and I'm just going to play a fucking couple Yumi games, because, holy God, trying to play ADC and, like, not be able to focus on your monitor, really not it. Really just not good.
Oh, man. Can't imagine. All right. Hey, Andrea, how about you?
Just chilling, watching playoffs. It's been kind of interesting to see which teams perform better in playoffs than they have been performing in regular season. Yeah, I didn't have any issues like you guys. just busy with work, I guess.
You stayed healthy. that's a good news. No event is actually sometimes very good news. And with that said, let's segue into it. How has it been like to be a fan, just following the finals, the playoffs, you know, from both ends? LCS has been fun. NACL has been fantastic, in my opinion. So I'll pitch it to either one of you to start. Like, what's it been like to watch it from a fan perspective?
Okay, I got to jump in here. I got to talk about it. You guys know what's coming. Team Liquid, baby. Team Liquid in the playoffs, baby. You already know. We're going crazy out here, dude. We're going absolutely crazy. We take FlyQuest to an absolutely insane five-game Silver Scrapes banger. Back and forth as all fucking hell. Yawn and Core JJ look like the best bot lane in North America. Do not at me. That is just a fact. I test Yawn and Core JJ look like the best bot lane in all of North America. The team seems to have come together really, really well. They're working together way more. APA is not randomly fucking dying all of the time, which I am so thankful for, my God. And Umpty has almost entirely stopped solo engaging on Nautilus. So, like, the problems that were happening are not happening as much. We absolutely slammed Dignitas. I'm not going to lie, that first game had me scared. Dig early game was way scarier than I ever thought it would ever be. But we really pulled it through. Double Dragon is way too OP. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it has to happen. I got to talk about it real quick. We smashed 100 Frauds. Ooh. We smashed them. They got put in the dirt. They won. They took one game off of us. But other than that, it was not close. It was not close. They were not close games. And, like, they weren't perfect games either. I'm not going to cope that hard. We had a lot of issues, especially in, like, the second game. Really bad. We probably should have won that one. And then, like, the fourth game, we almost threw. But, like, we still smashed them, and I'm just going to throw this out there, because I've been talking about this all week with my homies, but, like, it's so funny to me watching those series of games and watching the fact that Meech and Ayla are almost always the last two people alive on 100 Thieves every single time, because Team Liquid completely fucking ignores them. They're just like, they're not worth our time. They like, we understand that's the AD carry. That's not our fucking target. Like, we don't care about Meech. We don't care about Ayla. They're doing literally nothing in almost every single game. We're going to leave them off to the side, and we're just going to dogpile Sniper and Quid. We're just going to dogpile these guys because they're the only reasons why they're winning, right? Their top side is super strong. We don't care about this bot lane. Watching them just, dude, watching, like, I know Sniper had, like, in the second game, a pretty crazy, right? But, like, it's been showing, like, and I will talk about it as well with the Cloud9 series and 100 Thieves, but, like, Sniper has been getting gapped, like, hella gapped in these games, bro.
And that is the energy we would like to hear from a fan and from a fan perspective. It's been awesome to see, like, this complete flip of TL. They don't play the same way that they do in the regular season, and this is probably what they were talking about with how their scrim game looks like, because, you know, all I've heard is that they scrim really well. They go high kill, very bloody, and then you see them on stage and a regular split, it looks nothing like that. But it's remarkable. It's I'm going to, you know, talk a little bit of thoughts a little bit later on about what this is reminding me of. But Andrea, well, how about you? What are some of your thoughts as a fan so far?
That I am really disappointed in C9. Three games versus Flagwiz were so embarrassing.
Preach. Preach.
It's like, how are you this term? Oh my god, I thought they were back. But it turns out 100 Thieves was just really bad.
They eked out a win against NRG. Okay, NRG was probably the weakest team of the whole playoffs, and, you know,
I heard people say that they were the worst team. Like, apparently the players had that.
I would.
Feeling.
Oh yeah, were they talking about that on like Hotline League or something? Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna get there. Like, we're gonna get there.
Sheesh.
Like, they really thought that NRG had no reason to be in the playoffs, and I actually agree, because the only reason they got in was because Contracts stole a bunch of stuff from very random amount of games. And they just got random free wins for that. They were so close to not even being in playoffs. So yeah, 100 Thieves turns out not very good. So Cloud9 is not back. They are actually still terrible. Their games versus Flagos were so embarrassing. I cannot believe what I watched. And yeah, I was very happy. I'm not a C9 fan, but like, we can't be losing like that.
No.
It's just the quality of the players they have. How is it possible that they play like that? It's unreal. And yeah, I'm very happy with TL. I think even if they lost their series, I thought they looked pretty like alive. Like, they were doing stuff, and like, I didn't feel that the losses were like super devastating. They were fighting in all of the games. Like, they honestly could have won all of the games if they are a little less
random. That would have been very, very interesting.
But like, they are here to play, and that's really exciting. Unlike C9, that was not exciting. And yeah, I want to touch a little bit on the ACL, because the results have actually been so interesting. Like, how is it possible that Supernova went from being top 3 in a whole year when the whole split, and they end up being 7th, 8th? Like, it's wild how the playoffs have turned out for ATL. Like, these guys had a terrible regular season, and they suddenly ended 4th in playoffs. And it's like, TL Challengers also had a really bad regular season, and they ended 3rd. So it's like, the playoffs in both leagues have managed to like show us different sides of the teams that they haven't showed during the season. So I think that's pretty, I don't know, it's pretty exciting to watch the form the teams are playing in and how they have like leveled up after the regular season. So like, I don't know, I thought that was really cool that we saw these guys in TLC rise up to the level that we expected from them. And same with Team Liquid in the LCS. So yeah, there's that.
No, those are very good points, and I was about to dive in. I'm kind of comparing our preseason look into the all the rosters and who we had predicted and the outcome. It was very remarkable to see, because throughout the season, the Skies and Team Liquid Challengers were at the bottom, just barely making playoffs, and then at the playoffs, they're they were in the winners bracket. They got deep. They were at the end. I was still seeing these guys. Liquid Challenger was facing FlyQuest Challenger in the winners bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Oh, and Disguise was the reason why the Maryville was in their losers bracket to begin with.
Yeah, because the higher seeds lost that series, the first round. So it was like kind of wild. Like, Maryville lost to DSG, and then Supernova lost to TLC, and those were like high end seeds. So it's like crazy how they ended up having to fight for their lives. Mm. And that's how Supernova ended 8-7. Instead of higher, because they had to face Maribel right away. Like, just Maribel's in finals now, but like, they are still too good, I fear. It turns out that Yuji and Expirax are very, very good. Who knew? I mean, only people who have been watching Academy for the last year, right?
Yeah, and the Immortal Niles, right? The Immortal Niles. Yeah, I feel like he's been at Maryville for forever. Wait, sorry, wrong roster. Yes. But I am. So kind of looking into the finals weekend, we're gonna have a lot of banger games to play. We will have C9 against Team Liquid, which C9 will show up. Is Team Liquid going to continue carry that fire into the finals weekend and lock their place in MSI? I think that would be exciting personally. The form, the teams that are playing, I would rather have TL.
I think
I'm gonna put this out there, right? I'm gonna put this out here, and like, this is definitely coming from like super biased. I'm a Team Liquid guy, always like die bleed blue, right? Team Liquid going to MSI would be, I would say, the, because I, one of the takes from Hotline League the other day was that they thought 100 Thieves would be a more entertaining, like the most entertaining team for us to send, right?
Right.
That was one of their takes. I personally think Team Liquid would be the second most entertaining team. I think these guys are positively psychotic when they want to be. I think APA all chatting to the best players in the entire world would be hilarious because he's dumpstered, and that would be so funny to me.
For the content.
And then, like, I always just love seeing the return to the international stage for players like Impact and Core JJ. These guys who have dominated internationally, they've been to the peaks, they've seen the heights, and having them come back with brand new players or like some rookies or younger talent is always like really, really fun for me. And also, I would love to see Umpty stack up back against some of these LCK boys. I think that would be so cool.
Oh man, he would be taking an NA team and just, yeah, just imagine the interviews. That's going to be hilariously awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. And with that said, yeah, I totally remember that like take of 100 Thieves being entertaining. Yes, in a way, I think having young player there, but I want to see us win and have a chance. And 100 Thieves was not it.
That's fair. I am going to push back on that slightly and say that even with our best team FlyQuest going to a tournament like this, they might be our best chance, but it's still less than 30% chance that we come out like anywhere near the top. I've been watching the other. I just watched a game from the LPL from two middle of the pack teams, and I was like, these guys would win the LCS. That's so crazy to me. These guys would actually just dogpile our LCS teams. That is insane.
Wait, which game were you watching?
I was watching TT versus FPX.
Oh, okay. Yeah. FPX is a strong team. Surprise.
No. FPX is a singular strong player with a decent support staff. It is literally one man army every single game. I literally watch this man steal every single kill because they're just like, the gold's better on you. It's fine. Just fucking take it. Like, we know that you'll carry us, and that's like the only thing that we can do.
Yeah, for those who haven't followed International or China, Milky Way is this is the team that is being carried by their jungler. Like, it's so obvious who is like.
It's not even a jungle carry meta. It's like he came up with his own fucking meta. He's like, fuck it, I'm gonna lock in Grace and Kindred every game. And it's like, why are you allowed to do that? You're constant, in the second best region in the entire world, and you're still just able to lock in whatever you want and win. Like, that's crazy to me.
Well, I'll give you that. I mean, LPL is crazy. They have their own things, and they're crazier this year. I'm gonna tell you, the bottom teams are really terrible. But yes, if it comes to FPX, even TT. I mean, they didn't make it to the playoffs, but they're pretty stacked against any LCS team. So
TT would have made playoffs easily. They would have. I think DT would have made LCS playoffs easily and maybe even like been in finals weekend. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's unfortunate that Invictus actually got in. Wow, I still can't believe that. Anyways, back to the correct side of the continent.
Sorry, I went on an international rant. No, my bad. That's on me.
We will take a look into that when it comes to MSI, which is happening in a month. I don't know what I'm going to do with my hands during this whole April without LCS. Just got to figure something out as fans. Going forward, though, any thoughts on the semifinals, or we can talk about our prediction for the finals for both NACL and LCS?
I feel like I've been talking a lot. I want to give Andrea the floor here.
I think C9 is going to lose.
How did we come from the number one team and now it's like, go ahead.
I have no faith absolutely in them getting over their stuff. Like, they look completely lost as a team, and I don't think they're going to recover. And also, like, I just generally think that I would rather see TL and MSI too. It's like, whatever. Just let's pick whatever and let's lose in peace. I don't have that much allegiance to C9. Like, I feel bad because I'm a big fan of JoJoPyeon, and it's like really sad to see him lose. But like,
yes,
whatever. Let Impact go to finals. I don't care. And as for finals, I mean, I think TL could win if they go to finals. So I don't know if they
against
will.
Against FlyQuest.
They are, yeah, I mean, they almost beat them once already. So, like, I don't see why not. I think they could perfectly win that series if they got to finals. So, but I'm not sure how to predict. I think they are very easy. Mm-hmm. Like, the teams, we already watched them play. They are very close. And, yeah.
All right. So, here is, as you kind of preface a little bit of that, this is a pattern that I'm seeing, right or wrong. The TL reminds me so much of a particular team that I used to do a podcast
for. Yeah, I know exactly what
about.
Oh, yeah.
This
is the exact same thing.
That spring playoffs. Mm-hmm. Let me pull it up and let me see. I believe I got it correct, but the bracket went as follows. EG took TL to game 5. Nobody gave EG a chance. They had to do a loser's bracket run. And guess who won the finals? In that spring, it was EG making that run, 3-1 against Fly. They swept C9. They swept TL in their like rematch. Well, we're TL. Nobody gave him a chance. Took FlyQuest to a silver scrape. Came back in the loser's bracket. Swept Dignity. First game, like Mage said, you said game one. I was like, oh, we got a series going on, and then they just proceed to like demolish them game 2 and 3. Then they play against 100 Thieves, 3-1. So now they get a rematch. Will they repeat this pattern? Will they upset and take the first seed for NA representative at NSI? I know, Mage, if you're going to say it, you might jinx them. So I'm going to go say it. I really, really think this could be a repeat.
Oh, boy. I will say this. We are saying all of this off of the back that Team Liquid for sure beats Cloud9, right?
Yeah.
And, like, listen, I know, like, there's a lot of criticisms out here for Cloud9, right? They have not been showing up very well. But, like, we know that this team is good at a certain point. We know that they have a high ceiling, but their floor is super low, right? Like, that's essentially where we are, is they have such a wide level of, like, of a potential performance gap. And assuming before I even talk about, oh yeah, I think Team Liquid is gonna easily make it to MSI, right? Like, we should talk about Cloud9 Team Liquid as a matchup, right? And typically I would go like lane by lane, right? I'm not gonna go that in depth, but I am gonna say this: the easiest way to beat Cloud9 is by attacking JoJo, right? He's been the best player on this team the entire season. He is basically the only reason why they have been winning anything at all, right?
Correct.
If you take, like, and I was thinking about it today, like, how's the best way that you attack JoJoPyeon, right? Azir, disabled. Horrible nerf to him. Literally, could not be a worse situation for Cloud9 because Azir is disabled, right? So what do you got to ban? You got to ban Nico, and you got to ban Orianna, right? Like, those are two huge playmaking mid laners that you don't want Jojo Piyun to get his hands on. And also, the backup plan is we got to make sure the Berserker stays down, right? Oh, he's really good in a hyper carry meta, but hyper carries aren't super strong right now.
They're not.
Except for one, which is Zeri. So you ban Zeri, you ban Nico Orianna, you take out the primary picks that Jojo Piyun's going to go for, right? He's not going to play the Karma. He has no interest in doing this, right? There's no reason for him to play Karma, to be totally honest. Like, that's just not his style of champion. He's not going to break out Veigar. There's no, like, they haven't shown it, really, if they are willing to do that. Doesn't play Aurelion Sol. So the other primary mid lane champions that you would likely see Jojo Piyun pull out aren't really there. And all the other mages are, like, kind of, you don't really necessarily want to pick them, right? So what are you doing? You're pushing Jojo Piyun towards one of the melee matchups that he's going to be forced onto in mid lane, which has so far been an underwhelming Akali and a zero kill Yone, right?
Yeah,
and it's like,
oh my gosh.
When you put him into a situation where he's getting constantly pressured by the enemy team as well, he just loses his mind, right? He feels so pressured to make something happen because he is, like, Blabber's great, but Jojo Piyun's making a lot of C9's plays, right? Yep. So it's, if he's constantly feeling pressured, he's either going to A, not do anything, which is great because then C9 won't do anything, or he's going to feel too pressured and over-pressured to do something, and he's going to overextend himself and get himself killed in really stupid ways, right?
Yep.
If you leave, and also considering this, if the flip side also happens, right? C9, what do they want to do? Who do you ban out? You probably look at APA, although I think that's a little bit stupid. Like, you probably ban the strong mid mages still, right? You probably ban, like, an Ahri. You might ban Talia, although I don't think APA's Talia is anything to write home about, right? And then what do? You ban out bot lane, right? If you're Cloud9, you need to ban out Yon. You need to ban out Core JJ in some sense. You probably get rid of Ashe or Varus. You probably get rid of maybe Xayah, Rakan, because, like, that's what they've been falling onto a lot. Team Liquid has been doing these really insane Xayah, Rakan, Ziggs comps that have looked really, really good. And, like, their mid-game looks so good when they're playing these champions, when I would say typically their transition from early to mid-game is really rough. So, yeah. And a lot of it is bridged by the fact that these champions do really well in that time period. But yeah, I would say, and, like, I'm going to digress here really quickly because we have so much more to talk about, but the best way Team Liquid beats Cloud9, banning out Jojo Piyun, forcing Berserker on to hopefully Senna because he's dog shit terrible at that champion.
Oh my gosh.
Like, what is Cloud9 really going to do? They probably ban out Smolder. They probably ban out, like, Ahri, and then they force APA onto some random champion that he's just going to pull out of his ass and then die on anyways. And then Blabber hasn't been looking that good. And then Fudge and Impact is a completely, like, it's a nullified lane. Neither of them are going to do fucking anything into late game. They're do nothing lane.
Man, and it's rough because that's exactly what Cloud9's been doing. And you really got to wonder, like, what's happening? They know what's their issue. They're saying it out on their content. You know, everywhere they get interviews, they know that they're not playing as a team, but more like five laners. And another additional insight by Bwipo offered, Vulcan is not Sven. Sven has influence and been able to get Berserker to not take random fights or you know, jump right into death, but he's no longer there. And Vulcan and Jojo, they love to scrap. They just jump in. They look out for fights, you know. I've seen the worst engages by Vulcan this year, and he's not a bad player.
Oh, they're terrible. Oh, they're horrible. Horrible engages.
Just horrible. And you see him engaging and the rest of the team not following through, not sure what's happening. It's like something's really, really broken about the chemistry in this team.
Third team All-Pro, by the way, as well, for Vulcan. Third team All-Pro. All-Pro's a fucking sham, bro. Like, I'm not going to lie. B-Boy first team All-Pro is absolutely a joke. Busio first team All-Pro, absolutely a joke. I'm not going to lie. A-list second team All-Pro, absolutely a joke. I'm not going to lie to you. Sorry.
We should probably have dedicated that. That would have been last week when we did reveal all the All-Pros, and I was like, huh.
We got one Team Liquid represented? We only got Impact? Like, nah, go fuck yourself. I'm not going to lie. It has a fraudulent All-Pro if I have ever seen it. It's as fraudulent as the LCK All-Pro.
Ooh, that one. Yeah. Oh, man. The LCS voting system is an all-time head scratcher. But as we continue to, you know, just talk about, you know, going forward, any thoughts on the NACL front, Andrea, about, you know, who do you think will win between FlyQuest and Merivale? How do they look?
I think FlyQuest should win. I mean, they're just really good players. What can I say? Like, it's really hard to make a case against them. They have been winning a lot. They have really good players.
And kind of speaking on, you know, the front, at that front, do you see any of these, do you see any of these players having a shot at LCS?
I think Certi and Chime should for sure have, like, they don't even deserve to be in an ACL in the first play. Like, Certi should be in LCS already, and Chime shouldn't have been bounced back down. Like,
absolutely.
That was a crime.
I wonder how Shopify are rethinking about putting Zazel in over Chime.
Yeah, I mean,
what could have been?
Yeah. So, like, definitely those two. I don't know, maybe Quad. So, he's been impressing. Who knows?
I've heard a lot of Quad. Nah, love. Being a mid in NA is kind of a tough to find a spot sometimes. All right, so it is time to celebrate our two Player of the Week. Last week, it was Fudge. And then this week, I'll have a funny story for you guys later on, but someone in the C9 Discord says Fudge was the player of the week for FlyQuest this past week.
True.
And of course we have our favorite Bwipo to talk about. So let's give a, you know, some moment to Fudge. What do you got for us, Andrea, on Fudge?
Well, Fudge is I think Fudge is currently the tallest player in the LCS. So that's something.
Yeah.
He's 6'4". He's from Brisbane. He enjoys Kendrick Lamar. His favorite movie is Interstellar. His favorite anime is One Piece. His favorite champions are Irelia, Fiora, and Sylas. He's also very good friends with former 100 Thieves top laner Tenacity, current DSG top laner Tenacity. They have a really funny friendship. His favorite pro player when he was growing up was Keen. I don't know if how many of you remember Keen.
Keen?
The LCK top laner.
It's old school.
And
for C9, right?
No, the LCK top laner. He was in a Freak LCK of Freaks.
All the other, okay.
And he apparently, well, there was this in his cells, in one LCS broadcast, they said that he has a secret SoundCloud account where he puts out mixtapes, apparently. So that's what he said. We cannot confirm nor deny.
Well, you got cut out there for a bit.
Oh my,
you said what?
Oh my god. sorry. Yeah. So according to the LCS broadcast, Fudge has a secret SoundCloud account where he puts out mixtapes. I can't confirm nor deny this because I had never seen it, but he says that. he also likes playing soccer. Yep. And you can find out these and more interesting facts about Fudge going to lcsprofiles.com and checking them out. There's a lot of really cool information about the players that we have collected just for your benefit.
Absolutely. And now, Fudge has been in the LCS for a couple of years now. Certainly, he's played multiple lanes. And, you know, funny enough, his current teammate is the one that sent him back from mid lane to top lane.
Yeah, I remember Mitch Fudge. That was the time.
You know.
Remember Fudge playing Soraka commit? That was the time of LCS. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you bring back such memories that I don't
the
know.
The most how. Pick of all time.
And C9 doing C9 stuff. I guess some of the things that I would say memorable, you know, these are some serious submissions, but maybe only one is his performance at MSI. Mm-hmm.
I think everyone remembers that one because he, he had a really rough first split, just to say the least. Like, people did not like him, and then he completely went psycho at MSI, and everyone was like, "Oh, okay, Fudge is good," and everyone changed their mind about Fudge, and that was like his grow arc. Yeah. Was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. That was certainly a it gave us more hopeful that he would continue to develop, although Gotta say, this year has been at its very best. Yeah. Any favorite moments for you, Mage or Andrea, about Fudge? Anything that you remember? He also does casting sometimes. Honest.
I do have a quick anecdote, I guess. I've met Fudge in person.
No.
I've actually met... I met the championship C9 team from last year. Because we were all at the airport at the same time, so I met up with them and I said hello. Fudge, like, I'm not gonna lie. Last split, I was like, I'm not sure about, like... I'm not sure how much I like this guy. Like, I respect him as a player, but, like, him talking about, like, the fans and the haters and stuff, I was like, I don't know. Not really my thing. But then when I met him at the airport, he's, like, he's super nice. Like, he's a super nice guy. He's way nicer than I was expecting him to be. So personally, like, that's my memory because I've literally met this guy in person. I met him, Blabber, Berserker, and Eminem. Those were the people that I was able to meet. It was really cool.
That is cool. And you're right. That's the sentiment I get even from like people who haven't met Fudge, that, you know, he's not personable on broadcast. And I don't know if that's like, you know, anxiety or just things that he doesn't portray like the flow. But it's good to hear that he's much, much nicer in person. So get to know the player. Giving way, of course, he cannot earn two player of the weeks, even though people would want to give it to him for his FlyQuest performance. Now we talk about one of the most entertaining of all players that I've watched on broadcast and enjoyed listening to. And we had a gluttony of his appearance this past week. So I'll give the floor to you, Mage, to talk about the one and only Weeple, FlyQuest top lane.
Yeah, Weeple's a pretty interesting case study. So a little bit of backstory from myself. My favorite EU team is Fnatic, and obviously my favorite North American team is Team Liquid. Two teams that Weeple has played for. So it's really easy for me to like this guy because I've liked this guy essentially since I started watching Professional League of Legends. So a couple things about Weeple. Fun fact, he first started playing his first like official season was in 2018 spring in the EU LCS before it was the LEC. And the only reason why he was able to become a starter on Fnatic was because the actual starter top laner Soaz ended up with an injury and was out of playoffs. So Weeple played one game during the regular split, I believe, that year that he just kind of like they were like testing him out, seeing if he would want like how well he would do. He did really well. And then come the playoffs, he had to start the entire playoff that spring. And if you don't know what the 2018 Fnatic roster was, it was Soaz Weeple top with Broxah in the jungle, Caps mid, Reckless bot, and Hillisang support, right? So this was the insane Fnatic roster. And so with that being said, one of Weeple's issues when he was starting for the first time was he struggled with the idea of that, like, oh, like, I know that I'm starting and I should be excited, but, like, I don't feel like I've earned this position. It doesn't feel like I proved myself in any way, and then I'm only getting it because of an injury. But what that means for me now is that I just have to prove to everybody that I'm deserving to be here regardless, right? So that was one of his bigs. And he did prove himself, because his first split, playing as a starter in the playoffs, he won. He literally won the EU LCS. He beat G2, and he went to MSI, right? Like, that's crazy. And then come summer, it was a little bit, I believe it was a little bit weird because the meta had a lot of top lane champions being played in the bot lane in the AD carry role.
Mm-hmm.
So what ended up happening was Weeple ended up playing bot lane with Hillisang essentially, like not all the time, but he shared time with Reckless, right?
Yep.
Did really, really well. Like, insanely well in the bot lane playing, like, Gangplank. And it was Gangplank and, like, Mordekaiser and, like, all these other, like, random top lane champions that he was just, like, smashing people on. Insane. With that being said, did not win the summer split, unfortunately, but did qualify for Worlds. And this would be the year that Fnatic would go all the way to the final, right? And a fun fact about that is that during the group stage, Fnatic needed one win to tie Invictus Gaming to finish first in the group stage. And the coach for Fnatic decided, hey, you know what? I'm willing to coin flip this game. and he took Soaz out and started Bwipo in the Invictus Gaming game that would have given them first, right? They fucking won. They annihilated IG. Like, absolutely demolished them. Like, picked them apart. Like, I'm pretty sure IG got 4 kills in that game total. And then, because of that, they had to play a tiebreaker immediately afterwards. And the coach was still like, you know what? Bwipo, you kind of went crazy, bro. I think I'm gonna put you in for the tiebreaker, too. Gets put in for the tiebreaker. They smash IG again. Bwipo gets this insane Ornn 2v1 kill on the enemy, on the IG jungler. And I think, like, the Shy was subbed out for Dove or whatever. And it was, like, insane. He's just 2v1ing these people in the top lane, right? With that being said, Fnatic go through. They take the first seed into the quarterfinals, and it does eventually lead to the actual world full finals with Fnatic and IG. But unfortunately, Bwipo and Fnatic get absolutely stomped. They get 3-0'd really quickly. Was not close. Didn't look competitive, unfortunately. A couple other things, because like I wrote out this like really long thing about Bwipo's history. I'm not going to go through everything. But other interesting facts, Bwipo also was essentially the only reason why in 2019 they were able to even qualify for Worlds, because they were getting smashed in most of their games. And he was like, fuck it, I'm going to play Aatrox and Jax as much as I possibly can, and hard carried Fnatic across that finish line. They looked like a dead corpse of a team. He made it so that they actually had like... and actually, coming to Worlds, Fnatic and Bwipo were able to beat out RNG during the group stage, knocking Uzi out for the first time in the group stage, which was super historic, super good, and was also the reason, not the reason, but a part of the reason of how that was the year that every single EU team made it through. Also, other than that, Bwipo also had a time playing jungle, which was really interesting because he was playing jungle for a simply worse top laner at the time, which was really weird. And then after his stint in jungle, he finally came to North America, where he would finish in the regular season first with Team Liquid in the spring, and then get absolutely fucking raffle stomped in the Danny pentakill Baron Steel game, and which I cried out loud to people. And I was like, why did this happen? And then, unfortunately, come the summertime, they didn't even qualify for Worlds. Nope. And then Bwipo was forced to take a year off because nobody took him onto their team, which was an absolute travesty. But he's back. He's back now. He's back, and he's ready to play the game. And obviously, he's just smashing everybody in the LCS. He is, by far and large, the best top laner in North America.
Is there pun intended with a large...
You mean super wide whip daddy?
Wide whip daddy. He is a joy, and certainly I was unsure what he would look like coming back after a year off. And honestly, I thought it was really weird that nobody would give him a chance in 2023. You know, both split, and I thought, hey, is it something about his play? Is something not working? But you know, he comes in 2024. Just looks amazing, and I've gotten to learn more and more about him this year through all the interviews, just to listening to him from the first pros that he appeared on. I was just really blown away by his game knowledge, by the way that he looks at League of Legends. He loves the game. He just absolutely loves the game. What else can you tell me? I know you follow him on his stream. Yes. You know, yeah,
he does stream a lot, and so when I was going to say it, I waited, but you said like you weren't sure how he was going to look coming back after a year of not playing. I was watching his stream the entire time. He looked fine. like he was totally fine the entire time. He was still smashing top lane. And in my opinion, he is one of the most knowledgeable and also educational players to actually watch, because he talks about everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's constantly talking about matchups. He's constantly talking about what he's doing, whether it's wrong or right. And he's talking about like, oh, like my team is totally inting doing this right now, and I can't really do anything about that. But I think I'm going to TP anyways and see if I can fix it. and it's really, and it's, he's just a super entertaining and super insightful player that everybody should watch. He does stream on Twitch. Super, super, super fun to watch. And his community is really great. And also just one more fun fact about Bwipo. His favorite player of all time is Hillsong. And when they played bot lane together, it was super cute. Sorry. And now I'm done. I'm done. I'm finished.
There is no end of gushing about him, but the way that he really just loves the game, he really wants I think he can bring a change. You know how Core JJ really brought a change to the LCS, in my as you know, someone who's not a native NA player, but he really want to invest. I kind of sense the same thing from Whipple. But before I get any further, Andrea, do you have any input, any thoughts on Whipple, any favorite moments or memes?
I don't really. I'm not that familiar with him. I'm going to be honest. I do not follow European League of Legends, and now the only thing I have from him is that he was on Team Liquid during a year, and that was it.
And no problem, and because one of the releases from last week, I don't know if either of you saw it, was Inventory by FlyQuest, which I thought was helpful to get to know the players in a more in-depth level. He really took a chance coming to NA, right? And his thought was he can be special in LCS, not so much in LEC, and I can't remember quite what the thought process behind that. So he is really putting his all in. So you can kind of imagine how hard it was for him to not play in 2023 when him and his partner took the chance to move to North America. Did you want to jump in, Mage?
Not really. I mean, the only insight that I have about that is that Whippo's first choice when he did come to North America was that he really wanted to play on Team. He really wanted to play on Team Liquid because he really wanted to play with Core JJ.
Yeah,
like that was a big thing when that roster was built. Like Bjergsen, Hansama, and Whipple, they were all like, "We really want to play with Core JJ." Everybody wanted to play with Core, and so when they built that roster, they like the entire roster was built around the fact that everybody wanted to play with Core, and unfortunately, didn't really pan out super well. But especially because at the beginning of the spring season, like Core didn't even have his fucking green card.
Oh, so, gosh. Well, no, it was not Core. It was Hans who didn't have his visa. So they had to flip-flop between Core and Ayla just to ensure that Hans got to play. Right? Was that the year?
No.
No,
that was the second split. The second split, Hansama had some issues, I'm pretty sure. But the first split in spring, that was like Core's green card wasn't getting approved or something. They were trying to get it through. And so Ayla had to play a bunch of games.
Yeah, well, they were quite a mess, and then you now have to wonder what it could have been if they had a full year of that whole roster
together. If Hansama, like, literally wasn't homesick the entire time. that's literally, like, the only thing I have to say. I think everybody played really well, and then watching Hansama that year made me sick to my stomach.
Oh, gosh. I thought it was coaching, too, because they put him on Ashe duty. Of everything Ashe.
Oh, yeah, no. Like that's definitely a part of it. I would say it's probably also, like, and without getting too deep into this, probably a big confidence issue, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't feeling very well, so like, all right, just play like something safe and farming that brings utility. And they were like, you're on Seraphine and Ashe duty. Good luck. Have fun.
But yeah, lots to follow, and I hope that Whipple will be with NA for the longest time ever, maybe even become, you know, part of the NA core that will take us to the next level, because listening to him, it's just fantastic. Like you preface, he was on Hotline League as well this past week, and he went into a little bit of detail on the Inspired combo with him, and you know they work well together. He went in on C9, so if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to that, it's fantastic listen. And he also gave a bit of an insight of his time at Team Liquid. So yeah, I feel like we gush more about Whipple, and that's because he is definitely a much more out there character that you can get a lot more from him, from his appearances. Not to say that Fudge isn't, you know, trying. He's tried casting, and you know, right now I think his focus should trying to be getting the team together. So those are our two player of the week, and as we kind of wrap up into this final segment, you know, I thought of maybe something. This might not fit for the crybaby or criticism section, but I will say my experience interacting with different Discord, you know, I follow all the team's Discord. I gotta say, I can understand the toxicity of fans, and you know, experience that myself based on what I've experience, and I'd like to hear from what you both kind of have your own experience too, interacting with, or just even listening, not even interacting with different fans. I'd say Dignitas, Immortals, and you know, Shopify seems to be one of the friendliest and most welcoming. 100 Thieves are like kind of the cool kids. They don't really interact with you, but they're okay with you being in there. FlyQuest was super friendly. I forgot about at them. But when I stepped into C9's Discord, holy hell, I asked one question about Fudge. And it blew up into like World War III. He needs to be replaced. This everything is wrong. And I'm just getting flashback of the year when the C9, the whole roster was benched. And that was blasted all over Reddit. Holy hell. That was an experience.
No one hates C9 players more than C9. There's just no one.
Oh. I was like, oh. I thought TSM was the worst of it, but
I think C9 is a new TSM. The C9 fan base is just taking all the attributes of the old TSM fans. Yeah.
And because I had you, Mage, as the TL representative, I think you are very heady, objective. You know, you go hard on them, but you also see the positive side. But I was just afraid to go into the TL Discord because of how their Reddit already sounded off, just trying to kill APA for, you know, whatever reason. But
It's pretty bad. I'm not going to lie, right? Like, I'm a TL fan. I occasionally touch, like, I dip my toes into the Reddit, and I'm in the Discord, but, like, holy hell, dude, it is, like, oh, it smells in there, bro. It smells bad in there. People are angry. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm angry too, right? Mm-hmm. Watching APA in the regular split, like, I was honestly, like, I was really considering just, like, guys, we just have to bring up our academy player. There's no way that he's any worse than this. Because it's just, like, getting caught on side. Like, and it's legitimate criticisms, right? And I don't want it to get mistaken. There are legitimate criticisms for particular players. And then there are fans who are just overreacting to bad results, right? APA has a lot of criticisms that I believe are very warranted against him. He's working on it. He's getting better. He is in his full first year as a mid laner. I'm willing to give him a little bit more time, obviously. Even though I will continue to talk shit about him until the day that he stops pissing me off in side lane. With that being said, I would say yes, C9 Discord, and I think it's tough, right? It's difficult when you have a team that you really have high expectations for and then it doesn't pan out. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy to be upset versus a team like the bottom tier teams where there were like basically no expectations at all regardless. Yeah. And there's only like 30 of you in there total. Like it's tough to be mad at a team that's just always kind of terrible, right? Or like in Shopify's case, like a brand new team that came in with basically no expectations, unless you're Travis Gafford, right?
That's
the big thing, right? Like I would say FlyQuest has always been very kind. Like even like in the years where they're not doing so well or like they have disappointing finish, like they were still very kind to the players, I would say, overall. Mm-hmm. I would say Team Liquid, feral animal people who are barking and yelling at each other. Cloud9 is at the moment a complete fucking war zone. But really quickly, CLG, when they were here, wonderful. They were great. They were fucking wonderful every single time. TSM was the gulag. Like, it was absolutely the gulag. Everybody was at each other's throats. Nobody was happy at any given point in time. Even when they were winning, they were pissed.
Oh, Lord. Dang. This goes back to this whole big idea of, is the league, community toxic? And I know we have a reputation. It was talked about in the all-chat content by Team Liquid, right? And we can do better. We can do better, people. We can definitely do better. And there is a place for criticism. There is a place for frustration and anger and disappointment. And then there's C9. Like, what the hell?
And they've been calling for Fudge to get replaced for fucking years now. And like,
oh my gosh.
The only time where I was like, okay, I agree that they should do that was actually this year, solely based off of the like a roster building philosophy. Right? Mm. Like, I didn't think that Fudge fit the roster building philosophy that they were going for when they brought in Vulcan and replaced Ven and brought in Joju. I thought that when you have two really strong hyper carries with lanes that should be winning, you need somebody who's willing to lose. Fudge, I think, has done a... Let me digress really quick. I'm going to walk it back a little bit. Fudge has done okay. Did, I guess, his best trying to adapt to a new style, because it really wasn't his strength in years past, being like super weak side. Like, he liked having right, and obviously he's still getting some of those, but he's much more of a like, I'm not doing anything until the team needs me to do something kind of player. Mm-hmm. Which I think should theoretically fit the way that this team wants to play, but unfortunately there are so many other issues that are going on in that team, where even with Fudge's adaption, which I think is really good in concept, is still falling flat overall.
Wow, that actually makes a lot of sense. The whole team in its of itself, it needs a different game plan altogether. They cannot use the same way that they played last year with this roster. So we'll see. I know perhaps this is a bad week to step into the C9 Discord after they got like 3-0'd by FlyQuest.
It's going to be a bad week after this one, too. I'm not going to lie. They're about to be sent back home packing. They're staying in their fucking facilities for the next month as Team Liquid and FlyQuest move on to the international stage.
Ooh, lovely, lovely. Looking forward to that, and that's what's going to make this weekend exciting. We'll be back next week to kind of cover who our MSI representative will be. We already know FlyQuest is going. Let's see who finishes as first seed there. All right, guys, any sign off? What are you doing? Are you planning to become a fan for this week, the next month, on into MSI?
I mean, I'm going to be watching MSI, dude. Like, I love watching MSI. I wanted to go to MSI this year, but I decided I needed to save my money, so I'm not. Yeah, I mean, I always love internet. I adore international, right? I try my best to watch as much of all four of the major regions, and I've dipped my toes into some of the minor regions as well, but I'm not going to lie, it's really tough watching minor regions, because A, broadcasts aren't in English, B, yes. They're fucking terrible.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Mm-mm. Like, my favorite minor region was the LJL, and it doesn't even exist anymore.
Oh man, that's gone. Gone. Not even going to talk about the VCS being completely scrapped.
Oh my god. That's a whole nother episode. That's a whole nother episode. Yeah, you can't talk about that.
Well, Andrea, any thoughts? Anything? Sign us off?
Yeah, I'm excited for finals weekend. I just remember that they are not doing the road show. See, these things I don't remember.
Yeah, just what the fuck, man?
Because I don't go, you know? But, like, I just remember that it's going to be in the LCS studio, and I just got a little less excited because...
can we talk about that really quickly, actually, here at the back end of the show?
Yeah. Yeah, this is a fan. It's fan-related for sure.
Bro, I've been going to league events for the past couple of years, and I fucking adored it every single time. It's been super fun meeting all the other fans, being in the stadium, having that atmosphere, especially when you're going to a new city too. So it gives you a lot of ways to explore, and it's expanding the league itself because it's giving like people are looking at it and they're like, oh, this is cool. Not having a road show is such a bummer. It's such a bummer, dude, because like I was so ready to spend all of my, like, literally my bank that I get at work for days off, I was just going to spend on going to the LCS finals. I love doing that shit. It's so much fun, right? Can't do it. Because, like, listen, I probably would fly all the way to California to watch it in the actual, like, Riot Games studio. But, like, it's like, it doesn't even feel that interesting anymore. Like, I would much rather it be, like, a big stadium filled to the brim with people, with FanFest and all the crazy things that are going on, and like Kangas running around and throwing shit at people, like that. Like, I'm sure it's still gonna happen, but it's like it feels so much smaller now. It's the same feeling that I have with like the LEC, them doing basically no road shows and even having three splits. It's like, dude, I don't even care about those splits anymore. Like, LEC is a fucking fist fight right now, as far as I'm concerned. Whoever wins, wins.
It's so true. I've lost so much interest in the LEC due to this, like, shift to this format. But yes, the no roadshow is highly disappointing. And I didn't realize how much of an opportunity I would miss, because I was really tempted to go to the Houston one to watch EG. But, man, hopefully this is just temporary. That's my hope.
Do we know if they're going to have one in summer?
They're not going to announce it until much later.
If there's a summer one, we should go. I'm just saying. We should have a podcast meetup and just go there, the three of us, and fucking watch it.
everything I hear, they're leaning towards a no, but anything could change. We're just going to have to badger Mark.
Mark fucking Z. I will tweet at you every goddamn day. Do not test my patience, old man.
And with that, you have felt the fury of real fans are wanting to be fans at the LCS and wanting excitement to come. So people, listeners, audience, enjoy the finals week. Enjoy MSI. We will be back next week to break all of this down. Be anything you want to be, but be a fan.